Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
This year has been pockmarked with talks of trade wars, manufacturing slowdowns, and economic downturns, though, which would make you think twice about possibly going into manufacturing. But when you look at the likes of Venture Corporation, which is on the Straits Times Index and one of the notable manufacturers here in Singapore, well, you wouldn't think that if you look at their stock price year to date, which is up by about 18%. Despite that, though, one analyst in particular thinks that in 2020, Venture Corp might actually make an interesting target for some buyout funds. Now, this would be a big deal given the fact that its market cap currently is about $3.5 billion. We're joined now by Mr. Nicholas Van Broekhoven, the author of that particular thesis. He is an insight provider at Smart Karma and works very closely with their cross-ASEAN research team to help us understand why he thinks this might be the case. Very interesting there, Nico. But first of all, I want to say good afternoon to you and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Nicholas, let's talk about this. Okay. Venture Corp, a possible M&A target for 2020. Now, this is one of those big components of the Straits Times Index. Help us understand why you think they might be attractive, at least, to some of those buyout funds that have started to look at Asia more and more in recent years.
Well, I think if you look at the buyout scene, so last month it was announced that KKR would be raising a $12.5 billion Asian buyout fund, which was even higher than their 2017 vintage, which was about $9 billion. And apart from KKR, you also have Hill House, you have TPG, you have a number of others, which have also raised billions of dollars. And you know, these PE funds have to put that money to work to earn the fees that they have, that they are waiting for from their investors. So I think 2020 will be a very active year for all these funds to deploy capital.
Why do you think they've started to become more interested in possible opportunities, these buyout funds, at least opportunities here in the Asian space? As we know, there's still a lot of market uncertainty out there.
Well, I think there's a big discrepancy in the performance globally. You know, the U.S. has beaten the pants off Asia for the last decade. And again, this year to date, the U.S. and European indexes are up 25% to 30%, depending on which benchmark you look at. And especially ASEAN has been a huge lagger again, the major indices. So it's a bit like when you look at make an analogy. If you look at property, it's all about location, location, location. And if you look at, you know, stocks in general, it's a lot of times about valuation, valuation, valuation. And I think that valuations on the SGX on a whole are rather attractive. So this attracts, you know, PE funds to raise funds to look for buyout targets. And, over the last decade, Malaysia has been the worst performer in ASEAN and Singapore has been the second worst performer. So I think that is attracting the attention of these funds. And then why venture? I mean, I think that's, you know, venture is a big, big company, but these companies are raising a lot of money, so they need to be able to buy big companies.
Now, $3.5 billion. And when you look at the stock price, actually, they're up about 18% year to date. And despite all this worry about the ongoing trade tensions and slowdowns hitting the manufacturing space, we talked about this right before the interview, actually, and you actually said you weren't too impressed by that 18% gain for Venture Corp, especially since given the fact that they're also outperforming the broader STI. Why is that, Nico?
Well, I think if you look, I mean, a little bit longer than year to date, from 2018, they hit a high of almost $30 a share. You know, they're now around 15, 16, so they're half of what they were last year.
So it's still a long way to go for them.
Yeah, well, and also the reason why it was hit substantially last year was because of a short seller attack. And so they have had, you know, I think lost some confidence by different market participants. And I think they have to regain that confidence. And that is, you know, one of the reasons why I think venture is an interesting case for a potential buyout fund, because the founder, well, first of his age, he's 78 years old. He turned 78 last month. And the episode last year where he was attacked by the short seller actually quite, you know, infuriated him. And that, I think, is a cocktail of a man who founded a company who was turning almost, you know, going to be close to 80 years old and who had this experience in the public markets where people don't value what he has built or don't value it enough, which might, if KKR or one of these other funds calls him, I mean, will he pick up the phone and have a serious discussion potentially of giving him a graceful exit? I think he would take the call.
I take it there's no succession plan that we're seeing out at Venture Corp.
No, so I mean, obviously there are professional managers, there's
right,
close to 15,000 employees, but I don't think there's not like a heir apparent, like a family business. I mean, the founder only owns 7% of the shares outstanding, so 93% is free float. So that is very different to many of the other STI components, where either you have banks, you have REITs, you have family-controlled vehicles like Jardine, or you have, you know, semi-government entities like Keppel, etc., which, you know, they are not going to be bought out by PE funds, or very unlikely that they would be bought out. So venture is a very particular case.
Nicholas, we're still speaking to Nicholas van Broekhoven. He's an insight provider and a member of the cross-ASEAN research team at Smart Karma, talking about the idea that maybe Venture Corp is a target or can be a target for a possible takeover next year. Nicholas, would this still be attractive, though, given the fact that everybody is talking about a possible bottoming out in the tech and manufacturing space starting to manifest? People are starting to say that trade tensions are going to start to ease also. If the horizon starts to get better for Venture Corp, do you think that they would still be interested to sell out instead of saying, hey, you know what, things are getting better, we can go at this on our own and we'll take our chances out there because things the horizon's getting clearer?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if the re-rating is going to be very swift of public market investors and, you know, and the stock goes back to 25-30, I think that is a lot less likelihood that something like a buyout could happen. But sentiment on sell-side analysts is quite weak right now. 70% of analysts who cover venture either have a sell or hold rating on the company. Company estimates are coming down into the fourth quarter of this year and going into next year. So I think sentiment is not very positive on venture, and I think that opens an opportunity for PE funds to look at those kind of companies. So venture, yeah, could fit that bill.
Delving deeper into that idea, though, Nicholas, everybody is hoping or saying that, you know, and we hear this from tech manufacturers, economists, analysts, there is a bottoming out, they're saying, in the manufacturing space, the tech space also. But how is that existing against the backdrop of a possible economic slowdown in 2020? Basically, this, I think, matters to ventures' outlook also. Is there any real teeth behind this particular thesis based on what you're seeing?
You mean teeth in terms of a recovery coming?
Yes. Is there something real there actually?
Well, no. I think it will be very interesting to see now if this, because I mean, I think there's been a lot of hesitance by many companies because of this continued uncertainty. How many tariffs there would be? What would be impacted? Because I think this is another interesting case about venture is that 86% of their factory footprint is in ASEAN, and only 5% is in China. So you can imagine that for many different OEMs who would use these, you know, manufacturing companies, they would be very interested to understand. You know, ASEAN is so far not hit by any tariffs with the US or with Europe. So venture in that sense is a very interesting company to look at if you want to diversify away, because I think there's now a phase one deal, or at least it's being talked about. But do we really think these, you know, pressures between China and the US are going to go away just like that overnight because of this phase one deal? I think that's unlikely. And I think also companies will have learned that it's important to diversify. And, you know, venture having a very strong footprint and being very specialized, especially in life sciences, for example, will actually, you know, pique the interest of potentially funds that would look at venture.
Now, you mentioned a while ago that venture's founder was rather frustrated when he was the subject of a short selling attack just the other year, and might prompt him or might actually incentivize him to even think about, you know, if the markets aren't really rewarding us or valuing us at the place where we are, given everything we've put into this company, we might as well just take our ball and go private, right? Do you think that this is a similar sentiment that some other companies on the SGX might be feeling, actually, that maybe there's a bit of frustration with regards to how markets have done, and maybe they feel it's undervalued, because we've seen a raft of companies trying to go private also here in Singapore, right?
Absolutely. Apart from the REIT space in Singapore, we've seen a total lack of IPO. I mean, we had a big IPO, Property Guru, but in the end, they went to Australia. And it was a real homegrown company with 70% of the revenues in Singapore. So I think, yeah, there has been more delistings this year in Singapore than listings of companies, and that has to do with valuations that are attractive. If you see a lot of IPOs, like in the US, for example, that those are companies because they can get a high valuation, they come to market. And here it's the other way around. People are management teams and buyout firms or competitors are buying out companies because they think the valuations are attractive. And I still think going into 2020, there's a lot of very attractively priced companies on SGX, both, you know, small, medium, and large size, that could attract the interest of all these various parties that could see that as well.
Now, finally, Nico, just talk to us about this potential flurry of M&A activity that we might or might not see next year. What other sectors do you think might actually see this? Will it mostly be in, or are there other deals perhaps that might manifest in the manufacturing space, or are there other sectors? Will the REITs continue to show more of a propensity to merge and perhaps do M&A? Give us your thoughts.
Well, I think on the REIT, yeah, sure, the smaller players, probably there will be more action still. But I think in the manufacturing space, if we're looking at that, there are many small and medium-sized companies like Franken, AEM, Fuyu, Sunningdale. I think all of them potentially could have attractiveness to potential suitors or management teams taking them private, or a combination of management teams and PE funds joining hands to take them out of the market. So I think, we started, this year with Memstar as well. So we have seen deals like that, and I think that it's very likely to continue.
All right. And that said, though, Nicholas, just very quickly, this is just a thesis that we have, that that they could be an attractive candidate for a takeover. But there's still a possibility that an M&A doesn't materialize, though, because it'll still depend on what these players actually decide.
Of course. Absolutely. Well, I mean, this is just a thesis that this potentially could happen to venture, as you know, for various reasons. The age of the founder, no clear succession within the family. And the frustration would have happened last year. So that, I think, is a very good company, has a lot of cash. 20% of the market cap of venture is cash that could be easily leveraged by PE funds, which they like that. And venture has a very long track record of multiple decades of very strong cash flow generation, which is also what PE funds like. And a valuation, which is one standard deviation below its 10-year average in terms of EV/EBITDA. So I think that is a good cocktail for at least people to will be looking at this. But will it happen? Obviously, it's an estimate that could happen. But if it doesn't happen, I still think venture is an interesting company. So it's not like you're only betting that this will happen. And in the meantime, they're still paying you a 4.5% dividend yield. So you're being paid to wait.
All right. That's Mr. Nicholas van Broekhoven, insight provider and member of the cross-ASEAN research team out at Smart Karma, who's kindly joined us to outline his thought piece on why he thinks Venture Corp might make for an interesting takeover target from some of these buyout funds next year. And if you want to read more articles of the same ilk and other thought pieces on the markets here and across the world, feel free to get on smartkarma.com. They've got some interesting thought pieces there from other analysts such as Nicholas. Mr. van Broekhoven, thank you so much for joining us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.